How are you coping with the heat wave we've had recently? Was a problem for some, but it was a blessing for others. And we've had to save water, haven't we, because all the reservoirs are down. But we're also told we need to recycle. And when we recycle, we're supposed to wash everything out before we recycle it. So we've got a problem. Do we save water or do we recycle? One of those what we call first world problems, which the undeveloped world don't even have. If you're on holiday, the sun's good for you. But if you're a farmer trying to grow crops or grow grass to feed your cattle, you've got a problem. Just some of life's ups and downs we have to cope with. But life has more serious problems. We've looked at those, what we called first world problems. Life has more serious problems, doesn't it? And I'm sure most of you have had your fair share of life's ups and downs at one time or another. They say life isn't fair and things don't always work out the way we wanted them to. Loved ones become ill. People fall out with you or upset you. You may be under attack spiritually because you've made a stand as a Christian. Whatever your struggles in life, Psalm 91, which we've just listened to, is a psalm to turn to. A wonderful psalm of assurance for those facing trouble of any kind. If we're in trouble, we often just want to find a place where we can hide away and no one can bother us. A place of refuge. Now, many of us can quote that Psalm 46, which I read at the start of the service and which Amy mentioned too. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And we certainly need that security of knowing the presence of the Lord as we go through the many trials of life. Many a Christian has echoed the words of that chorus we also sing. Father God, I wondered how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. How hard it must be for those who don't know the Lord to go through some of the trials and tribulations we go through. Now, Psalm 91 really is a refuge psalm. It contains the word refuge no less than three times. Look at verse 2, where it says, He is my refuge and my fortress. And verse 4, He will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge. Verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge. So it's an excellent psalm to turn to for the Christian who's up against it and needs that extra reassurance that the Lord is with them, whatever trials they might be facing. And as if to emphasize the point, the psalmist tells us that God's not only a refuge, but he's also a shelter from the storm, if you look at verse 1. He's also a shadow for the blazing heat. You see, we've had both of those recently, the storms and the blazing heat. He's a fortress against the enemy in verse 2. He's a wing to hide under in verse 4. He's also a shield and a rampart for protection in verse 4. The idea of a battlement or a castle protecting you from what's coming against you. In verse 9, you see he's a dwelling place, a place of safety. All potent symbols of places to find refuge from one trouble or another. Now, whenever we go and stay in Gillian's caravan, usually at Easter, we go down to Mid Wales, we often visit the Osprey Project, where you can get a good view via their live TV screens of a pair of ospreys nesting and rearing their chicks, which they do from Easter to about September. I don't know what you know about ospreys, but there are only a few sites in the UK where you can observe these magnificent birds of prey, who have a wingspan of almost 6 feet, about the size of my outstretched arms, and they just live on a diet of fish. They usually nest on a very open platform, specially built to hold their huge nest, where they rear 2 to 3 chicks each year before migrating back to Senegal in West Africa. Trouble with nesting in Mid Wales is it's one of the wetter places in Britain. And although it's good for fishing for them in the River Dove, the chicks, when they hatch, sometimes have a real struggle against the weather. The wind and the rain blow up the Dovey estuary from the sea right across their nesting platform. And this is where the huge wings come into their own. During the fiercest wind and storms, the mother will sit on the nest and cover her chicks with her massive wings to protect them from the elements. And that's a picture that the psalmist wants to convey in verse 4, where it says, "Under his wings you will find refuge." The storm hasn't been taken away, but if the chicks nestle underneath those huge wings, they're safe until the storm passes. And you too can find refuge from the storms of life under the mighty wings of our amazing God if you nestle close to him. And remember, it's not just anybody who's our refuge. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 3 tell us that the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath us are those everlasting arms. Now, in our chorus time, we sang about the many different names for the Lord Jesus and for God himself, reminding us of the different characters of God. And in the opening verses of this psalm, we see 4 of those special names for God revealed to us in the Old Testament, and some of which we sang in that part Hebrew chorus. We see in verse 1, El Elyon, which is the Most High who gives us shelter in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, El Elyon. We see El Shaddai. If you look at the footnotes in your Bible for verse 1, it says the Hebrew Shaddai. That's what we sung about in that chorus. El Shaddai, God Almighty, no one greater who shields us from the heat of our troubles. And we see the name of the Lord in capital letters. You see that word Lord in capital letters? It's the Hebrew Adonai, which we sang about. And when we see it in capital letters, it reminds us of the name that the Lord Jehovah revealed of himself to Moses. Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I am. No one greater who is our refuge and our fortress. And finally, in verse 2, we see my God, which is translated in Hebrew as Elohim, the all-powerful God creator, which we're introduced to right at the start of Genesis. My God, in whom I trust. Why would you not want to put your trust in him as your refuge? The Almighty God, the the great I am, the Adonai, the Creator God. In America, if you're in trouble of any kind, you don't ring 999 like we do here. Instead, you ring 911. Some of you who've been to America might know that. And this psalm is the Christian's 911. Psalm 91, verse 1. Remember, that's a place to go to in any sort of emergency. Now, I've got a biblical question for you. Some of you who know your Bibles really well might be able to answer this. What have these Old Testament cities got in common? Golan, Hebron, you might have heard of those, Ramoth, Bezir, Kadesh, and Shechem. I knew either David or Ilona would know that. They're cities of refuge, which we can read about in Numbers chapter 35. You don't need to turn to it, I'll just read you briefly. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that a person accused of murder may not die before he stands trial." A city of refuge was somewhere where you could flee to if you'd killed someone accidentally, where you could find refuge and not be killed by the relative of the person who died. A place to find safety because you didn't mean to do it. Now, isn't this a picture pattern of the Lord Jesus? A place to run to escape the death penalty for our wrongdoing. The book of Romans tells us that we've all sinned and deserve the punishment for those sins. We can't help it. We didn't mean to do the wrong things we do, but we're born as sinners. We do it naturally without thinking. But the Lord Jesus is like a city of refuge that we can run to and be saved. If we come to him, admit that we're sinners, ask for forgiveness and promise to live for him, then we're free from the punishment we deserve because he has already taken that punishment for us by dying on the cross of Calvary. He is our refuge and fortress in whom we can trust, where we can be safe from the judgment and punishment to come for those who haven't put their trust in Jesus. Just like the Israelite who might have killed someone accidentally and didn't run to a city of refuge would face the full wrath and punishment of the relative of the one who died. Now, in the middle of the psalm, from verses 5 to 13, they contain some puzzling verses at first sight, and they're often used by those who might peddle a prosperity gospel to suggest that if you follow the Lord closely, no bad thing's ever going to happen to you. Even Satan himself used verses 11 and 12 to tempt Jesus to throw himself off the top of the temple in Matthew chapter 4, promising that no harm would come to him. Jesus' answer was to reply, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." In other words, don't do stupid things and expect the Lord to rescue you. You wouldn't dream of walking into the road with your eyes shut or jump off a 10-story building and expect the Lord to come to your aid, would you? Well, I hope not anyway. We all know that bad things happen to good people all the time. And as Christians, we are not immune from them. But God promises to keep us safe in the storm, not from the storm. Look at verses 5 and 6. It talks about the terror, the arrows, the pestilence and the plague. They're all around, but they're not taken away. But we need not fear them, because it says in Romans chapter 8, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, if we put our trust in him. Now, finally, a question for the married gentleman. Where did you first meet your wife? Pardon? A dance hall.
Similar,
yes. Anybody else? Well, you might think that's where you first met her. But in actual fact, you first met your wife in the church or the registry office or wherever, in front of the person who married you. Because, of course, up until then, she wasn't your wife. Talking of weddings, how many of you watched the royal wedding recently? Quite a few, yes. Before you get married in a church, you each have to answer a series of questions before you say your actual marriage vows. They're there to ask whether or not you're really willing to commit to each other. The Archbishop said to Harry, "Harry, will you take Meghan to be your wife? Will you love her, comfort her, honour and protect her, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live?" And the groom is hopefully supposed to answer, "I will." And then the bride answers, "I will," to a similar set of questions. Think back to your own wedding if you're married. It's a moment when two people commit themselves to each other in love forever. A solemn and yet joyful moment as they face their future together. Because they love each other deeply, they each say, "I will." The end of this psalm we see in verses 14 to 16. The Lord commits himself to us in a similar way. Because he loves us and wants to comfort us and protect us, he says, "I will." In fact, he doesn't just say it once, he says it 7 times, the perfect biblical number. And each one is worth reflecting on when you get home, as we could easily do a sermon on each one of them, but time's getting short. Starting at verse 14, the Lord says, "I will rescue, I will protect." And in verse 15, "I will answer when you call. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver and honor you." Verse 16, "I will satisfy you. I will show you my salvation." All that the Lord asks is that we respond with our "I will." Because you can't be married unless both parties have said, "I will." Will you say, "I will," to the Lord today, as it says in the marriage service? Will you love him, honour him, protect his name, and forsaking all the other gods of this world, will you be faithful to him as long as you live? Only then can you enter into that relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and know his love, his care, his compassion, so that whatever you go through in life, good or bad, he will be there going through it with you. And as our children's song reminded us, why worry? God's in charge. He truly is our refuge. Amen.